Worship Destroyed and Restored, or The Battle with Baal. You will notice that I made a different emphasis in the title. Worship Destroyed and Restored. It was Baal worship that destroyed true worship. Baal literally means Lord or Master. Any Lord and Master. Even if it's Baal-zebub, the Lord of the flies. Whatever Lord and Master man takes in the place of Jehovah, of the true God, becomes to him a Baal. Now let's see how the worship of the true God was destroyed. The children of Israel went on their pilgrim way, fed and watered by God. When it was too hot, he spread a canopy over their heads, and the cloud cooled them. When it was too cold in the desert nights, the pillar of fire warmed them. When they needed drink, out of the flinty rock would come the refreshing stream. When they needed food, down from heaven would fall the manna. Through many vicissitudes, periods of rebellion, periods of exalted worship, Israel marched for 4 decades until they stood at last in the valley of the Jordan. Just beyond lay the Promised Land. Satan had tried every method he could devise to bring about their destruction. Balak was the king of Moab. The Moabites were related to the Israelites. Their ancestor Lot was a nephew of Abraham. And it was from Lot's incestuous relationship with his two daughters that the Moabite tribes sprang. Conceived in sin, they grew up in rebellion. They knew the right from Abraham, spurned it, and sought to destroy the followers of Abraham, his family, and Israel. Balak was intent on destroying the Israelites. Knowing that they were sustained and supported by God, he argued that some spiritual attack might prove more effective than a military, physical one. And so he brought from Mesopotamia a prophet of God whose name was Balaam. His messengers had to persuade Balaam, at first reluctant, even to come on the journey. God tried to stop him in many ways, by dreams, and finally by the tongue of an ass. Angry, yet half believing, Balaam and Balak met. To the top of a mountain they trudged, and there below them, in orderly rank upon rank, were the tents of Israel. Balaam had told Balak, "I can only say what the Lord tells me to say." And the Lord had no intention of allowing this half-baked false prophet to curse his people. And so what came out from Balaam's lips was a blessing that enraged Balak. When 3 efforts to curse had failed, Balak told Balaam, "Be off, go home." And it was at this juncture that Balaam came up with a suggestion. Why not organize a dance among the date palms of Jericho? String up the soft lights, strum up the sweet music, roll up the barrel, and let the young people of Israel and the young people of Moab, their cousins, cavort in the moonlight by the river. And thus, socializing, compromising, Israel was destroyed. Apostasy at Jordan was a socio-religious compromise. The Moabites were beautiful people. They were nice people. They were really good at heart. Haven't you heard all that describing Moabites in every age? Only a little difference. They just worship God a different way. They call him a different name. They mightn't keep his Sabbath, but after all, they're nice people. What happened to the Israelites? They destroyed themselves. And the advice that Balak gave Balaam was the most subtle, devastating advice and the most successful advice for destroying God's people that has ever been tried. So the worship of the true God was compromised away by social relationships. Soft lights, sweet music, seductive perfume, beautiful people, eating, drinking, playing, and God is forgotten. At the time of the judges, for the next 450 years, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Look that up in the concordance and see how many times that phrase is repeated in the book of Judges. They followed the gods of their neighbors. They forsook Yahweh for Baal and Ashtaroth. Now, Baal and Ashtaroth are the male and female deities that are found in every culture. In the male deity, the masculine qualities are stressed. In the female deity, the feminine qualities are stressed. And wherever these two gods are worshipped, Hercules, Zeus, Aphrodite, whatever names you want to give them, sex, the flesh, eating, drinking, carousing are emphasized. So in the days of the judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. He followed what his neighbors suggested. He didn't want to look a freak. So he did what they did. He gave up following the true God. He accepted Baal and Ashtoreth. Sex, flesh, appetite, perversion took possession of man, and God was forgotten. Why not spend a couple of hours this week and read through the book of Judges? See how it begins and read the last two or three chapters. The last two or three chapters are almost unbelievable. The things that could happen, a tribe almost exterminated, all because God was left out of the thinking of man. Men talk, men act, men behave towards each other, they behave towards God in a way that beggars the imagination. And to think that this started with the faithful leadership of Joshua and degenerated the way it did to the last three chapters of the book of Judges. Occasionally there are men that stand up for the truth. Gideon, Barak, Deborah, Jephthah, the Falstaffian playboy, Samson. But what you find when you read through the book of Judges, what do? They killed 450 years. God's purposes were delayed. It was after the Judges that God called some priest prophets. He worked with Eli, but Eli's sons destroyed him. Then he called Samuel, and Samuel refused to allow his sons to destroy his ministry. His sons were bad men too, as Eli's sons were. But Samuel refused to allow himself to compromise. And he calls Israel to a reformation in worship. The Philistines were almost destroying God's people. They had gone from bad to worse. They had captured the ark. Israel was demoralized. They wondered what to do. They had now gave up all the subterfuges of taking talismanic cult objects into the forefront of the battle and craved Samuel to pray to God for them. With the enemy just about to approach, Samuel pointed them to Calvary. The lamb was slain. God came to their side and rescued them. Then it was that Samuel decided that where real reformation began was the education of the family. So part number four, he established the schools of the prophets. He laid down very carefully the curriculum to be taught. Read again the book Education and see the subjects that were taught there. The Bible was the basis. Biblical natural science was the result. The singing of beautiful songs to God, making music to Him. The study of His dealings in times past. Sacred poetry. The cultivation of the soil. These are the things of importance. And these schools of the prophets supported and sustained God's people for nigh on four centuries. From them came the prophetic leaders, historians, lawgivers of God's people. Part number six, the results of Baal worship are seen in the days of Elijah. Time of reformation passed. Ahab married Jezebel, and once again the cult of Baal and Ashtoreth swept the land. The secular-minded, fleshly-minded Israelites, forgetting God and His spirituality, went to Baal and Ashtoreth and their sexuality, and apostasy and degradation were the results. Part number five, which I am making last, Elijah meets the crisis. There on Carmel, two altars were erected, one for Baal, one for Yahweh. You know the story well, review it. Elijah's challenge is, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? These Israelites kept an open mind about everything, and their mind was a tube that learned nothing, that came nowhere near God, that let everything pass right through. He says, you've got to decide. If God is God, you've got to follow Him. If Baal, you've got to follow him. And the people agreed that the God who would answer by fire, he would be the true God. And thus confronted, sides were made. Sides, those who followed God, those who followed Baal. And in the upshot, the followers of Baal were cut down, and the followers of the true God were raised up. This kind of division is going to take place first through the shaking time, and finally, when Baal and God are going to face each other in the person of those who make the image to the beast and accept the mark of the beast, and those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And the God who at the burning bush answered by fire, who on Carmel's brow answered by fire, will, in the last days, bring about a second Pentecost, when cloven tongues, as well as cleansing flames, will mark God's people for final triumph. This lesson emphasizes the causes of failure, materialistic sexuality, and compromise socially, and the return through education to the worship of the God, not only of Mount Carmel, but of Mount Calvary.